Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this segment which we look forward to every Jumu'ah with Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Tamad Barakatuhu. Let's welcome our honorable guest. Remember, the date is the 16th of Rabi'ul Awal 1446. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Marana, kaisef, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab doing?
Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. No, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Where is Mufti Sahab today?
No, alhamdulillah, we in Newcastle, but we have to leave. That beautiful jour is happening.
Chee.
Hopefully we'll meet you there, inshallah. But make dua, Hazrat Marana Ibrahim Devla Sahab.
Chee.
And arrive, join myself. The program was in Johannesburg yesterday, isn't it?
Chee, last night.
No, alhamdulillah, Allah accept, Allah preserve our mashayikh and our ulama kiram, and Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to serve his deen, alhamdulillah. Imagine a man at the age of 92, Hazrat Marana,
92.
He's traveling and striving for Allah.
Subhanallah.
What special tawfiq at that age. That's why Hazrat Ikrimah used to say that the one who reads the Quran, so it would mean read Quran, connect to the Quran, then lam yajid ila arda lil umr, even at one's old age one won't get senile and feeble and brittle, but the mind and the strength would always be there, especially the mental strength. And we saw the same in Hazrat Maulana Qasim Muhammad Sima rahmatullahi alayhi, at that age of Islamically 87 he was. And Gregorian 87, and he was so vibrant and so intelligent and so wise, and right till his last he was teaching the Sahih Bukhari.
MashaAllah.
And there we have Hazrat Mufti Dar al-Haq Sahab Hafidhahullah, and Hazrat Mawlana Fadlur Rahman Sahab Hafidhahullah, and all these great mashayikh and ulama, subhanallah, Allah preserve them. In Dublin we have Hazrat Mawlana Akram Sahab, alhamdulillah, Allah preserve all our ulama kiram. Alhamdulillah. And you have the Mufti AK Sahab, mashallah. He's also of advanced age too, mashallah. But striving for Allah, moving for Allah. Gee. Alhamdulillah. Allah accept.
I guess it gets scary for us because we think, hey, we mustn't at such an early age lose it all. Or we also want to get there safely with Iman and intact because of all the fitna that's out there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
Fitnas of today are much more, you know, it's as the signs of Qiyamah are unraveling. It is actually worrying, Hazrat Marana, what you're saying is so true. It is so worrying. There's so many of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are being unraveled right before our eyes. Exactly as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, you know, it's seen out there, it can be seen. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one beautiful hadith, as we mentioned this, he said a time will come where a person would be asked, يخير فيه الرجل بين العجز والفجور, that his society will deem him backward, or he joined the society in the iniquities and the wrongs that they are involved in. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you face that situation where they are threatening to label you backward, don't worry what they will do. You follow me, no matter what the environment, no matter what the society says. فليختر العجز. And, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let them label you. But how amazing is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guided us for today's times also. You know, in so many of his ahadith, he spoke about today. That's why in the chapter of the miracles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the manaqib of Sahaba, it starts with the manaqib of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sahih Bukhari. But Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brings the ahadith among the miracles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He brings so many ahadith portraying the miracle of water, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Mubarak water coming out from his hands, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua in water. But there's also, after that, he brings the chapters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophecies, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and how exactly as he said, it's coming through right before our eyes in today's time. Alhamdulillah, quite amazing.
Gee, alhamdulillah, what, and this is that beautiful month of Rabiul Awal, 1440, for us it's 1446, but I was saying, if you rewind the calendar, we'll have to go back almost, it's going to be 1500 years to the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yeshak.
Mufti Saab, so what does Mufti Saab want to speak to us today about, inshallah?
So I wanted to mention some of those, actually something linked to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is the birth of the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we discussed a bit of. But I want to mention this, the barakah in water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way his du'as and barakah came in the water. So I thought just a few incidents concerning that, and we can digress from there. One is this amazing hadith in the Sahih Bukhari, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was with the Sahaba out in Allah Ta'ala's way. And as they were traveling, now Imran bin Hussein, great Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu, he narrates this entire event. He says, we traveled and then we got to sleep that night. And in the morning, you know, basically in this hadith, we overslept. And the first person to awaken at that time was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Generally, he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first to awaken, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would wake up and wake up the others. But anyway, then Hazrat Umar got up. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he started making the takbir. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and then they performed the Fajr Salah. And then there was one individual who wasn't praying. So anyway, they asked him, like, what's the issue? Why didn't you pray? So he said, I was afflicted with major impurity, janaba. Anyway, in that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to perform the tayammum, and there was no water. All the water was finished. So the Sahaba performed the tayammum as well. But then they mentioned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they really extremely thirsty. وَقَدْ عَطِشْنَا عَطَشًا شَدِيدًا. Anyway, in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends the Sahaba. He says, go to this other area. Travel this way. Get to that vicinity. This is in the desert. On this travel. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there you'll find a lady. And she'll be riding her conveyance. And بَيْنَ مَزَادَتَيْن. And she has two water skin bags. So hadith al-mazadatain is how this hadith in the Sahih Bukhari is referred to. The hadith of the mazadatain. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, tell that lady to come here, to come this side by me. Bring that lady here. Now these Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, come there, and exactly where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described. Now this is in the desert. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, go here, go there, you'll find this lady. This is where she'll be riding. And tell her, and bring her here to me. Anyway, they come to her and they explain to her that Allah's Nabi wants you. So she's asking, Wama Rasulullah, what is this Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Anyway, we convinced her, and alhamdulillah, Allah made it that she accepted and we brought her. But otherwise, she was worried because at that time she was solitary, she was alone. And then she mentioned to them, I got my caravan coming, they're still catching up. But I went, I got my water, and this is how I'm alone at this time. So she was basically warning them to say that she's not alone. But Allah put it in her heart and she came. And then we brought her to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then she told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam her whole story. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her for her water skin. And in that, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took her water skin, that was the two water skin bags that, that was the only water that was there. They were in the desert. And she gave the permission. And then in that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed his saliva. And in that water, then he told all the Sahaba, come take water. And all the Sahaba out on that expedition with the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of them took water. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, bring all your containers. And they brought their containers. And they filled. Hatuma indakum. They brought everything, every container, every bottle, every water skin. And then they filled it all. And they all drank as much as possible. Anyway, when this lady was complete, she saw the scene. She never saw something like this ever. She went back. She met the people of her caravan. She said to them, you know, I met such an amazing person. First she said, he could be a sorcerer or he has to be the Nabi of Allah. Anyway, when they and the others verified, فَهَدَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الصِّرْمُ بِتِلْكَ الْمَرْأَةِ, Allah guided her entire community through her. She embraced Islam and they all embraced Islam. So that was such an amazing journey where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's amazing dua on this journey where he made dua on that water and Allah increased the water. There's another report, very similar, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Zawra. So this report mentioned the area. And then there was no water left. There was one container. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his hand in the container and the water was coming out from his fingers. This is in Sahih Bukhari. And everyone made wudu and everyone drank. So Qatada, who's the student of Hazrat Anas, he says, oh Hazrat Anas, how many were you all? He said, we were 300 or approximately 300. And there's so many reports like this where Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua and barakah and saliva in the water expanded the amount of water, expanded the amount of food. There's another very similar report where Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, so quite a few of the waters of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's report are narrated by Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, we were on this journey with the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was the time of Asr and we didn't have wudu. Now interesting, our listeners might enjoy this. Wudu is the action of ablution. And wudu, with the fatha on the waw, is the water used for ablution. So you got tuhur, is the practice of cleaning ourselves. Tahur in Arabic. Tahur, just with the fatha on the ta. That is the water used to clean ourselves. So anyway, we looked for wadu. That means we looked for water. There was no water to be seen. Anyway, a little bit of water for the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ was brought for him. He put his Mubarak hand in that container. And then he said to everyone, come make wudu. Hazrat Anas says, فَرَأَيْتُ الْمَاءَ يَنْبُعُ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَصَابِعِ. I saw water gush out from beneath the fingers of the beloved of Allah. All of us made wudu. Subhanallah. Then there's another very interesting incident on the day of Hudaybiyah. Now Hudaybiyah was the sixth year after Hijrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the dream that we are performing Umrah. And Sahaba was so elated, especially the Sahaba from Mecca and the Sahaba from Medina Munawwara, because Kaaba is our Qibla, and for years they're facing the Qibla, and the Meccan Sahaba, Muhajireen, for years haven't been to Mecca. So they're yearning for Mecca. Now they travel, and they come to Mecca Mukarramah. They didn't come to fight, but Sahaba were emotional. So at that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel knelt down, sat down. So Sahaba were intrigued that the camel of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not generally stubborn. Khala'atil qaswa, has it become stubborn? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded, no, it hasn't become stubborn. And that's not the nature of my camel qaswa. But habasaha habisul fil. Allah, who halted the elephant on the occasion of the fil, Allah made the elephant sit down. Because when that elephant was going with Abraha to demolish Kaaba Baytullah, Allah stopped the elephant. So here also Allah stopped this camel. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah wants me to tell you that remember, we're not here to fight. We want peace with them. And there's a lot of wisdom in peace. Anyway, in that, when everyone understood their intentions clearly that we're not here to fight, so that intention was clarified, the camel got up and they carried on. Now they get to a little town just outside Makkah Mukarramah called Hudaybiyah. Now there, the Meccans bar the Muslims' entry. And where you all think you all going? You all want to come into Makkah? Never. Not a possibility. Anyway, the Sahaba waited there in Hudaybiyah. Their hearts are yearning for Kaaba. They want to see Kaaba. The Meccans are not allowing them into Makkah Mukarramah. So they waited there. They camped. Now while they're there, they need water. They need to perform salah as Muslims. Salah, wudu. And Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. In this year, this report is by Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, we also got thirsty on Hudaybiyah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a small pot of water, raqwa, and he made wudu. Everyone also came. He said, what do you all want? Malakum. They said, we also don't have water to for wudu, nor do we have water to drink except the little water that you have. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand in that riqwa, is the actual correct pronunciation, riqwa. And the water came out gushing from the Mubarak fingers of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kamthali al-uyun, like a gushing spring. Fasharibna wa tawaddana. Allah Akbar. Anas says, we drank, we made wudu, And Allahu Akbar, there was so much of water. Yafood, it came out gushing like a spring. So Salim bin Abil Jahad says, we asked, as a Jabir, like, how many were you all? He says, we were, لو كنا مئة ألف لكفانا كنا خمسة عشرة مئة. We were 1,500, but if we were 100,000, that Mubarak water from the Mubarak heart, Mubarak hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so special, it would have been sufficient for all of us. Now that's the one hadith. Hadith number 3576. The next hadith, 3577, is the hadith of Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. He also speaks of Hudaybiyah. He says, we were 1,400. So, different estimate. Jabir radiallahu anhu says 1,500. He says 1,400. So, approximately, those are the two reports in history as well. 1,400 or 1,500 Sahaba on Hudaybiyah. He says, Hudaybiyah is a little town outside Makkah, and it's named after that because of the well there. And we went to the well. There was not even a drop of water left in that well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the edge of the well. So the first report is Hazrat Jabir, where water increased from the container. This is the hadith of Hazrat Bara, where later, because they needed water long term, because they were there for quite a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits on the edge of the well and he asked for water. Whatever little water was still available, he poured it in the empty well. Then he gargled, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gargled, وَمَجَّ فِي الْبِئْرِ, and he threw his Mubarak water from his mouth in the well. We weren't far, Hazrat Bara says, from Makatna Ghaira Ba'idin. And then we took water from there and we quenched and we drank. And after that, our animals had. And subhanAllah, right till our end, while we were there and leaving, there was still water in that well. How fortunate are Sahaba Kiram, radiallahu anhum, to have this opportunity to experience these amazing opportunities with the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to drink that Mubarak water from the Mubarak hands, Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's another report where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also put his spear into the bottom of the well and water came out from the spear. So there's no contradiction. Water was gushing out from the spear Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as, subhanallah, the heart Mubarak, the Mubarak hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, it happened from both. Alhamdulillah. That's the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracles of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But while you were mentioning this incident of Hudaybiyah, I want to share another lesson in that event. And that is, respected Ummah, imagine Sahaba, look at their tarbiyat. Amazing is the fact that they didn't end up performing Umrah that year. But at first, their hearts were paining. And Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq explained to them that, be calm. This is Allah's Nabi. Remember that. He will only do what Allah tells him to do. So a few said, oh, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Allah's Nabi said we'll perform Umrah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr asked them, let's see, did Allah's Nabi say you will perform this year? Then they started realizing, no, you are right. He didn't say this year. He said, you will perform, you will perform. SubhanAllah. How important is to listen to our senior. And how Hazrat Abu Bakr explained to them so lovingly that, see, this is how it is. And they all listened, alhamdulillah. And then the amazing event happened of the truce, where finally different mushrikeen came out to meet our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that occasion, because they were trying to converse with him to come to a solution. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them repeatedly, we're not here to fight. We're here to perform umrah. Allow us to do that. But when these delegates used to come, different delegates, among them was Urwat ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, among them was Suhail bin Amr, and quite a few, they came one after the other. Even Urwa bin Mas'ud was so inspired when he came into the environment of Sahaba, where the Sahaba were camped at Hudaybiyah. Now imagine when delegates used to come, they had opportunities to see the beauty of Islam. If it was time of Salah, they would view. If it was time of Amal, they would view. And all of this, the environment of Deen and Iman has a great impact on the environment, on the society. Later on, Urwa bin Mas'ud was so inspired by that event. Not long thereafter, he embraced Islam. And Allahu Akbar, he became the means of the hidayat of his entire community. And who's his community? Taif. the chief of Taif, one of the chieftains of Taif, was Urwa bin Mas'ud, who embraced Islam after Hudaybiyah. Just coming into the environment of the Muslims, seeing the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he went back to the parliament of Mecca and he said to them, that, you know, I want to tell you all something. I have seen the love of this messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sahaba Kiram. I have never seen it in any other human being. I've been to the kings of the world that as a delegate and as a diplomat, but I've never seen a nation love their leader. كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I've never ever seen in my entire life, visiting all the diplomats and the superior kings of the world, the Rome, the Persian emperors, but I've never seen a people love their leader like the Sahaba loved Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Urwa even said, I've noticed them drink after him. If water came out from him, from his mouth, from his face, they took that, they rubbed it on them. The level of love Urwa saw in the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And in this, Allahu Akbar, Urwa even saw one relative of his, right close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mughira bin Shu'bah. And he was very upset because Mughira bin Shu'bah embraced Islam very recently. And Urwa didn't know. And Mughira bin Shu'bah was known to be a daku in the past day. He was a gangster. And he sees him to be so close, you know, right there by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this also inspired him. It's a long incident what happened there. Because when Mughira bin Shu'bah, prior to him embracing Islam, he did other wrongs in his jahiliyyah. When he embraced Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your Islam we accept. But all that wrong you did, you have to make right. That's not acceptable. So, and how Islam changed him. Urwa and all of them were quite amazed how Islam and the environment and the company of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reforms and transforms people and makes them into the specimen of humanity. It makes them the best, the paragon of creation. In this, Suhail bin Amr comes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whispered to Sahaba, when this man comes, it means they're caving in and they want a peace treaty. And there was this dialogue now. And finally, they agree to a peace document to be enshrined. And it was now dictated. And there was a lot of issues in this peace agreement that seemed to be on the side of the mushrikeen. And Suhail was hard in his negotiation as well. He didn't want, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He said, okay, no, right, Bismik Allahumma, right, in the name of Allah. So wherever it was permissible, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in for the greater cause, for the greater benefit. He says, you don't want Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Okay, right, not the names of idols, we can't do what is haram, but right, fine, Bismik Allahumma, you accept Allah in your name, O Allah, fine, write that. In this agreement, right, this Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dictating. This is agreed upon between Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Suhail bin Amr. Suhail says, wait, but why are you writing Muhammad Rasulullah in your document? We don't accept you as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became very emotional and upset. Now you're overdoing it. I'll never rub out Muhammad Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Ali, just fine, give in. So much Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in to win them over. And in this, the agreement took place where there was a ceasefire for 10 years. And there was, whoever wanted to join each party. You want to come with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you join him. You want to join the Mushrikeen of Mecca, you join them. Banu Bakr joined them. Banu Khuza joined Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And no violation is allowed towards any of the two, and so forth and so forth. But then also, you can't perform Umrah this year, but next year. So quite a few the Mushrikeen put in, which they thought was beneficial to them. But in the long term, subhanAllah, look at the profound effect that it had. Anyway, Sahaba are told now to return. Sahaba were very emotional. When Abu Jandal's incident, where there's no time to discuss now, Suhail's own son, where Allah's Nabi showed more mercy to people's children than people show themselves to their own children. Anyway, Muslims returned, but they were emotional. But Allah revealed the verses. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Verily, we've granted you a clear, open victory. Clear victory. That's Hazrat Abu Bakr. Is this a victory? Hazrat Abu Bakr would say, we've never experienced conquest, a victory like Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Subhanallah. Because then as Abu Bakr says, see, we are short-sighted. But Allah knows, Allah's wisdom is beyond what we can fathom. That how Allah puts khair in situations, how Allah makes khair come out of it. Like here now, 6 years have passed in Medina, 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, 6 years in Medina Munawwara, 19 years, 1,500 Sahaba with Rasulullah on this journey. 2 years later, when Fath Makkah finally did happen, 10,000 strong returned to Makkah Mukarramah with Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And interestingly, there's a verse in the Bible as well referring to the final Nabi of Allah coming to Paran. Paran is the mountains of Makkah with 10,000 holy ones. And with that, it also says he has a fiery law for them in his hand. In his right is the fire. That refers to the law, meaning the hukam of Allah, the Quran, the Quranic Kareem. Anyway, in this 10,000 male men Sahaba, 2 years later, and 19 years have gone by, and there's approximately 1,500. Yes, there were a few others here and there, very few, but in those 2 years, so many came into deen. Why? What happened in those 2 years? Sahaba returned to Medina Munawwara, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now put them onto the purpose. And what was that? Dawat. Give the whole world dawat. Give every non-Muslim dawat. Tell every individual about who Allah is, the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the glory of Allah, the compassion of Allah, the mercy of Allah, that Allah is doing and creation can't do. Explain to one non-Muslim who Allah is. Explain to one human being. My brother, you tell the men. My sister, you tell the woman. This is what every Sahabi did. To such an extent that Dhul Hijjah and Muharram, 7th year, right at the end, after Hudaybiyah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba to the kings of the world to give them the same message. Tell the Persian Empire, an emperor, tell the Roman emperor, give him dawat. And if he doesn't want to accept, ask him permission to go meet the masses and meet the people. Tell him if he hinders, if he refuses, is one sin. But if he stops the message from coming to the people, that's another sin. Tell Najashi from Abyssinia, tell Alexandrian king Muqawqis and all the kings of the world. And then also, what about between the Medina Sahaba and the Meccan society? Now there was interaction. Now there was a transaction. Now there was association. Now there was, through this interaction, the Meccan community could see the beauty of the Medina society, the akhlaq of the Muslims. And through them seeing Sahaba, they bought from each other. They sold to each other. They went into business transactions with each other. And they saw the difference in Sahaba, that the same people we knew. But now they are so honest. They are so transparent. They're so clear. And what else? Sahaba gave the dawat also. Sahaba gave dawat to every person they did business with. Study the lives of Sahaba. Every transaction, dawat was given with it. That is the sunnah that we have neglected today. We do the business transaction. Some of us, most of us, Allah give us tawfiq, all of us are honest and transparent. But the dawat we don't give, we haven't realized that that is our duty as Muslims also. Because of the barakat of khatm nubuwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of the barakat of the fact that there's no Nabi to come and we are his ummatis. So this would be the last sentiment I would make here, that let us fulfill this responsibility also through the barakat of this. In those 2 years, more people embraced Islam than the previous 19 years, because Allah's Nabi put them onto the purpose, which was every opportunity give dawat. Jazakumullah khairan. And from this discussion we had the barakat of the water of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq to take barakat from the beautiful sunnah mubarakah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this greatest sunnah of Anbiya alayhi wasallam, which is dawat ila Allah. Allah give us tawfiq.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We say jazakumullah khairan, Mufti sahab, for this, for encouraging us.
Jazakumullah khairan to you, Hazrat Maulana, for this lovely opportunity.
Barakallah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.